If you want to turn in the scriptures to Proverbs 29 and verse 18, a very familiar just verse for my own daily reading. I'm reading through Proverbs. I want to tell you, it's a smashing book to read. It is just full of wisdom and challenge and ways to move forward in your life. And I'd encourage you, if you're not reading that and systematically right now, read through the book of Proverbs and ask God to show you what He would have you see. You know, over the last couple of weeks, we've had Rob Duff speak on our theme for this month. Our theme has been team. Because we're a team. We're doing this together. Yeah? And Rob has spoken on being a successful team builds together. And you know my heart and our heart for building the church. That's what we're called to do. Jesus has only one project in this world, and that is to build His church. He has no side projects. He has one project. It's to build a church, and He calls us to be builders with Him. And Rob spoke on a successful team builds together. Robert Carley, our guest speaker, spoke on a successful team is a united team. Not Man United team, but a united team. Last week, Peter spoke on a successful team, is a praying team. And week four, today, I want to speak on a successful team is a team with vision. And it says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, it's a simple verse. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Another translation says, that when there's no vision, the people go wild. Meaning, they're not able to control themselves in any way. This world is being full of great teams that had vision. I wanted to say about the great Brazilian team of the 70s. Does anyone remember them? Come on, you dirty lawyers. Fergie, you remember them. Stephen remembers them. Someone's honest in the house. Jorginho, Jeff remembers. They're all being honest now. Pelé. Tremendous team. Tremendous football team. But that's exactly what they were, a team. They were a team that had great vision. I have to say, even though it cuts at me, but to win a treble like Man United did takes great team. Stephen loves me forever now. There's been great teams in the business world, in the politics world. There's been great teams in cinema, great teams in music. There's been great teams in the Olympics. Like, for instance, Michael Phelps won 8 gold medals. No small feat. Supposed to be the greatest Olympian that has ever worked. But Michael Phelps will be the first to tell you that he had a great team behind him and a great team with him. A team that had vision. A team that says, we're going to conquer, we're going to win, we're going to get gold medals, we're going to make the best movie, we're going to make the greatest music. Great teams have great vision. People have conquered the mountains of this world because they had vision of getting to the top. People have conquered the depths of the ocean. They've conquered space, for crying out loud. Man walked on the moon because some team had a tremendous vision that one day we will walk on the moon. Let alone people like Martin Luther King. Let alone like people like Mother Teresa. Let alone like someone like Nelson Mandela that had vision and dream. And yet they had teams behind them. A successful team is a team that has vision. A successful team has one thing in common, and that is that they are visionary people. People who see a preferred tomorrow. People who see into the distance. People who say, I know where we need to go to. And that we're not succumbed or enslaved or entrapped by the here and now alone. Vision is a powerful thing, amen? Vision is makes teams successful. Vision is when you see something that is as it is now, but you have something different in your mind, what you can make that something. Vision motivates. It motivates people to climb the highest reaches of the world. Vision motivated the Wright brothers, who were disappointed so many times, but yet they were motivated by vision, and they got us to fly in the air. I don't know about you, when I still go up in an airplane, I always think, how is this thing staying up? And the Wright brothers overcame all disappointment because they had vision to motivate them. Vision releases the plans and purposes of God in the lives of people, of families, of cities, of nations, of communities. Jesus took 12 motley crew men and he put vision in their world. He put vision into their hearts. He put vision into their minds. And the 12 men set the course of everything else that we have known right now. Vision is a powerful thing. Vision spawns ideas. It brings creativity to the fore and releases the power, love, and greatness of God in the midst. Vision brings extraordinary things out of ordinary people. Vision enables you to reach higher, see higher, and climb higher. Vision stops you from just living in this black and white world, and it takes you to places where you can see in technicolor. Myself and Sharon, when we were over in America, there's a place in America called Sedona. It is a great place in Arizona. I've known about it for years because growing up, my dad always watched Western movies. And there was 100 Western movies made in Sedona. It is a place in the desert where you're going in the desert and it's just all brown and all rustic area. And then you get to Sedona and it's all the mountains are red. It was like God got a dye and just dropped it into a red dye and dropped it into this part of the world. And all of this is red. It's the most amazing thing. I could tell you, I've been there before I ever went there. Because I dream in cowboy language. When I was a kid, my dad told me, when I was that small, when I still slept my mom and dad, he told me one night he woke up and I was on his back saying, giddy up. I have dreamt about this place. When I got there, I've said, I've been here already. Because it's amazing what vision you can have with vision. It's amazing where you can go if you have a fertile imagination. And you know what? We had a choice to drive to Sedona. And if we would have driven, we would have seen it from a perspective. But our friend got another friend to take us up in a helicopter. And to fly us over. Can you believe? I couldn't believe Sharon got in the helicopter. She's my helicopter lady. We got up and, you know, you can see things from a car point of view. But it's amazing what you can see from up here. It's amazing the different terrain, the different colors, the different dangers, the different animals, the different scenery, the different of looking at the sun. In fact, when you're in a helicopter, you can see far further, you can see higher. It's like you can reach out to greater things. That's what vision is like. That's how powerful vision is. It's not just going along in our everyday life, seeing like just head high, seeing up buildings high, but vision takes you up. And it allows you to see the things that you can't see if you haven't got vision. It is great to be part of a team called Liberty that has vision. It is tremendous to be part of this group of people that it calls this place their home. I'm impressed with an impressive people. I am impressed with you. I'm impressed with you as individuals, and I'm even more impressed with us as a team together. I was impressed when I came in Thursday night and seeing probably, 20 plus people in the little room downstairs calling out to God for our young people. Weeping before God for the teenagers of our lands. I'm impressed that I belong to a team that would stand and believe for young people. In a time when young people are being assaulted from all levels. At a time when young people are taking their own lives, giving themselves away at every corner. I am so glad and I'm so impressed that we have a team here in Liberty that says we're going to stand and believe. We're going to reach out. That's why we have to come Tuesday night. That's why when you see someone in your street, someone that you know, someone that you're connected to, hey, there's an event happening in Liberty Church called The Event. Why don't you come along? We're not going to beat them up with the gospel because we don't do that. We respect the gospel too much. And we respect people too much. But I'm telling you, they'll have a blast down here. They will hear things in their language that they will understand about people and about God. I'm so impressed that we have a team that will stand with people that needs hope. Coming up on the 7th of November, is it? People that need the flyers in their hands that this team will put in your hands going out. To take them, you know, people that need hope. I'm so impressed that I belong to a team that has vision. And if God has brought us together as a team, which I believe He has, what has He brought us together for? Is it to have a holy club? Is it to have a place where we just have good music, which the music is brilliant? He's brought us together so that we could be a team that has vision, that achieves something together. That we would accomplish something together. That all of your attributes, talents, strengths, abilities, gifts, that you bring them to the mix, the combination of fusion that brings all the gifts together and causes something to happen in this world. That we're called together as a team to achieve something, and every man and jack of us is needed in this vision. Don't think that you're not needed or you're someone that we just bypass. You're needed on this team. And let me tell you just quickly the vision of Liberty Community Church. Is to establish a large community of believers. The word establish means this, that we are here to put down roots in a community through different outreaches and services that we do. To establish means to put ourselves deep into the fabric of our community, of our city, and even of our nation. To establish means this for us, to have longevity. To have something that we can pass on as a legacy to the next generation. We're here to establish. We're here to have a large church. This is not it, guys. The first sermon that I preached from this pulpit when we got this building 2.5 years ago, we are not staying in this building. Because this is not our home. We have bigger places to go to. We have more people to reach out to. We have more people to gather into the body of Christ. And God has put in our heart that we will be a large church. That means many people being reached with the gospel. A large church means people being transformed, families encountering God, marriages being strengthened, enriched, and restored. Where young men, a large church, where young men and women find answers to life, to purpose, and to live in life to the fullest. And community. A large community of believers. Community meaning that we be connected together. That we have a family atmosphere, that we have things in common, that we will want and believe the best for one another, that we will want to stand together. When someone's grieving, we'll all grieve. When someone's rejoicing and celebrating success, we all join in that success. You know, there's a church right across the aisle from each one of us. There's someone there, community life. This is what we're about. And believers, a large community of believers, that we'd be a church where people are learning how to live the life that God has called us to. We'd be a people, a believing people who are grounded in the Scriptures, who are full of the Holy Spirit and know our God-given purposes. That we would be a people of worshippers, people who are being raised up in the things of God, people who are experiencing the incredible life that God has promised us. Amen? Now, together we achieve this. See, together we achieve more. Together we are a team. Together we reach further. We climb higher. Together our arms become longer. Together with our gifts, passion, talents, personalities, and abilities, we can achieve more than we could ever achieve alone. Samantha, could you come here for a minute? Yeah. Give Samantha a big hand. I believe that we can achieve more together. Samantha, she doesn't know about this. That's why she's just got real nervous all of a sudden. But I think us together can do more than Samantha could ever do on her own. Where did you live, Samantha?
Tala.
When did you first come to Liberty?
2 years ago.
What type of car do you drive?
Do I know? Ford Puma.
Ford Puma. What did you drive before that?
Punto.
What team are you on in church?
The choir. Yeah.
And used to be on?
Sunday school.
You know, it's amazing what Samantha has achieved. I'll tell you some of the things Samantha has achieved. See, together she has reached out further than she could ever achieve alone. Samantha has purchased a building worth 1 million euro. She's touched lives in her community. She's seen youth come to know Jesus. She's helped support missionaries in Africa. She's bought a rehab for men in Belarus. She feeds and befriends the homeless every week. She reaches out to young women in Chicklink. She reaches out to young men from the community every week with SportsLink. She helped paint houses for people. She helped establish a work in India. She reaches out to people at Christmas with food hampers, clothes, and toys. She helped reach starving children in Zimbabwe. She's a founding member of the national movement called the Assemblies of God of Ireland, who strengthens churches, who raises up new leaders, who plants churches in other parts of our nation. She's also worked in Belarus doing building work. She's worked in the orphanage in Belarus. She's worked in the old folks' home in Belarus. She's helped remodel a church in Belarus. Oh, yeah, and she's also raised 250,000 euro to work in Belarus. Now, I'm sure you probably would have never done that all by yourself.
No.
But together, she has achieved this. Together as part of the team, you have achieved this. And thank you very much for being part of the team. Give her a round of applause. Amen. Being part of the team of Liberty helps you to give more, reach more, accomplish more, accomplish bigger, and accomplish better. Amen. Living with vision as a team member will make you a winner. Living with vision as a team will make you a winner. Now, what will make you a good team member? Here's the first one. To make you a good team member, have vision for your life. Because without vision, people perish. Without vision, people cast off restraint. It means they've no guidelines. They've no direction. They don't know whether they're coming or whether they're going. The first thing you can do to be a good team member is to have vision for your life. If you haven't, you are open to hopelessness. You're open to living. See, the reality is, you live according to one vision or another. You live according to a vision that's in your head, you'll never amount to anything. Or that vision that says, no, you can't, no, you can't, no, you can't. Or that vision when you're just going to do something and this goes, no, 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 you can't do that. You're living according to some vision. God has a plan and a purpose for your life to be part of His vision, which is building the church and reaching the world. God has a plan. That very thing that says, you know, you're not going to make it. That's a vision that you live according to. The Bible says that this type of vision, it causes us to not know where we're going. See, to have vision for your life means that you can see further down the road. You can see beyond the obvious. The natural vision that we have helps us to see in front of us, doesn't it? God's vision for our lives helps us see the finished article at times. Helps us to see further down the road. Live according to the vision that God has for your life. Be a person of vision. If you say, no, I don't know what the vision is for my life, just hang around those visionary people because you'll catch it. Because we leak vision all the time. Hey, get involved in this. We're going to reach this. We're going to do that. We're going to do that. I know there's times I drive people mad with vision. Because I have all the vision, but I haven't got all the know-how to get to the vision. But that's where team comes in. If you could sit up with our leadership, our senior leaders meeting with Peter and Rob, you would be amazed at the gifts that is thrown onto the table that helps us accomplish what we do. And then you bring that to the ministry leaders team, and they throw in something, and it makes us bigger and better. There's one thing that we won't be short of in this church, and that is vision. Say amen. But be a person of vision. Young people, be a person of vision. You know why people stop dreaming? Do you know why people, they give up hope? Do you know why people go on drugs? They stop believing their vision. They don't know a vision. They live according to the vision in the back of their head. You know why people give up on life? Because they stop believing vision. They stop seeing there's a preferred future for me. They stop seeing that there's something better on the other side of today or tomorrow. Vision is powerful. Have a vision for your life. Now, don't be one of these people who are visionary people. Let me explain what I mean. There's a difference between a person who has vision and a visionary person. A visionary person is found in every church. The vision for this and vision for that and vision for this, but yet not accomplish anything. A person with vision has vision and lays down the tracks in how to fulfill their vision. A visionary person that they change their vision every couple of weeks. Don't be one of those people. Be someone that has vision from God and puts down in the work, puts in the hard graft to accomplish vision. You know what vision means? Hard work. It's not pie in the sky. It's not airy fairy. It's not something that we sit and wait on to drop down out of an angel's hands from heaven. Vision means you get it and you put hard work into it. You put your back to it. You give it your time. You give it your effort. You give it your life. A visionary person says this, that, and the other and still sits on their rear end. Have vision for your life. Be a vision, a person of vision. To be a contributing member of a visionary team, you need to have vision for a couple of things. You need to have one, a vision to live up, a vision to live in, and a vision to live out. A vision to live up meaning this, that you have a vision from heaven to live by. You have a goal that God has put in your heart. To live up means that your eyes is fixed upon heaven. To live up means a life of worship unto God. To live up, you have to have vision to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. There's an amazing situation in the Bible. Jesus brings three of the disciples up to the mount called the Mount of Transfiguration. We call it now. And he gets up there, and in an instant, Jesus is translated from just being flesh and blood to being glorified. It says that in one of the translations I read, that he became so radiant, dazzling white. It's like an advert for Daz. It became dazzling white. He was glorified. He was like he would be in heaven. And James and Peter and Paul, or not Paul, Peter and James and John, they go, my goodness, what's after happening? In an instant, Moses and Elijah appears, the prophets from the Old Testament. They're like, what is going on here? In another instant, heaven opens. And the Father in heaven says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Can you imagine being in that situation? Jesus is transfigurated. Moses and Elijah turns up. And then God the Father opens up heaven and says, hey, yeah, this is my Son. I'm well pleased with him. And they looked up and they bowed down. And in the Mount of Transfiguration, they learned what it was to have vision to look up. To look up to heaven. To have a place of adoration, to have a vision of who God is, to have a vision of who Jesus is, and to be a successful team member, you have to have vision of heaven. You have to have vision of Jesus. You have to have something that you're hanging your life on more than what you just see and hear. To be a good vision team member, you have to have vision of who he is. That he's supreme. That he rules and reigns over all things. 1 Colossians says that he created everything that is visible and invisible. That he is the supremacy of all things. He says whether it's thrones or powers or principalities, he says he is above it all. You know what Colossians is telling us? To look up. To live up. To live from this place. Because if not, we'd be driving in the car instead of in the helicopter. We'd be driving just seeing it from this point of view instead of seeing that God has a bigger picture, a bigger plan, a bigger purpose for my life. Live up. Live from that place of looking to heaven. Living up means living according to what the Bible says. Living up means to put the Lord number one in your life. See, to have a strong team, you have to have a strong from. To have a strong two, you have to have a strong from. And living up is a strong place to live from. Living up is a safe place to live from. Living up is a strengthened place to live from. Living up and knowing who he is gives you the strength and the power to move forward in your life. Say amen. Not only living up, but living in. This is what Peter said when he seen Moses and Elijah and Jesus and heard the Father. He says, I'm going to build a house and we're all going to live here. He knew what it was to live in. He knew what it was to experience God, not only in the looking up, but also in the looking in. And you know what? We have to learn how to live up, but we have to learn how to live with one another. We have to learn how to have a heart for one another in the church. We have to learn how to stand with one another in the church. We have to learn how to be there for one another in the church. We have to learn to grieve with one another in the church. We have to learn to rejoice with one another in the church. We have to learn how to forgive one another in the church. We have to learn how to overcome burdens in the church. We have to learn all of these things. We have to learn how to spur one another on in the church. We have to learn how to build one another up in the church. We have to learn how to pray for one another in the church. We have to not only learn how to live up and have vision to live up, but we have the vision to live in. We have to learn how to be kind to one another. We have to learn how to think the best of one another, honor one another. We have to learn how to not judge one another. We have to learn how to stand with each other. We have to learn how to not stand in each other's way. We have to learn how to live in. See, Peter says, hey, let's have a living. Let's have a loving. Moses, I'm going to ask you a million questions in a minute. Elijah, you're next. Father, can you just say more from heaven? Living in. See, the church is, Jesus is committed to his church. Jesus is committed to what he's doing in society. Jesus is committed to raising up his church, empowering his church, equipping his church, making his church radiant and beautiful. Who is the church? You're the church. You are the church. We are the church. We are the team that God chose to work with in this community. And the church is the team that he chose to work with in the world. Are you still with me? Not only do we have to have vision to be successful team members, to look, live up, we need to live in, but we also need to live out. See, we haven't got a strong place to go from. We don't have strength to go to people. The strength to live in, the strength living in, and the strength living up. When we live up, it's our affirmation as sons and daughters of God. When we live in, it's our confirmation as sons and daughters of God. But when we live out, it's an opportunity to bring a display of God to the rest of the world. See, Peter says, let's live in. Let's have this situation together. We're looking up, we're experiencing heaven. Let's all sit in this place and love one another and cheer one another on. But if that's all we ever have, we will die. If we have a looking up alone, which is great. If we have a looking in alone, which is great. If we haven't got a looking out, we will die. We will die as a people. Vision will disappear. Because we've just come all about us. We just all come, how are we getting looked after? Is the chairs comfortable? Is the place smelling good? Which is always good to have. But it all becomes about these things. And see, Moses, remember Moses went up the mountain and he left the people down there and he went up the mountain and the people had no vision. And when he came down, they cast off all restraints and he got into looking inward. And they built the golden calf, a false god. See, this happens to the church that doesn't look out. The church that just looks up can come flaky. Oh, it's all about us. Heaven fall down. The church that just consistently looks up, it just becomes the flakies of the Christian society. And the church that just looks in becomes like just a club. And they build their own idols and their own golden calves. I remember one time in the conference and someone was sharing about that they were afraid to move the piano in their church. Because some woman was going to get upset because they moved that piano. I have to say, when I got up, I says, I would have burdened that piano. You know what happened? She made a golden calf at the piano. And the pastor allowed it. You know why? That's what happens when you look in. You look in, it's like everything becomes precious. I don't move the stand. I don't change a team. I don't change someone out of leadership. We make golden calves because we've started to look in. But when you look out, Peter says, come on, we make tabernacles. Come on, we make houses. We're all staying. Jesus says, we're going down the bottom of the mountain. Do you know who was down the bottom of a mountain? A boy that had a demon. A boy that needed saving. A boy that needed the touch of heaven. A boy that needed not a church to be just looking up, or not a church to be just looking in, but they needed a church that was coming from looking up and from loving one another to going out to bringing this great God and this great message to the world. The boy didn't need a happy, clappy group of people. It didn't need a club that came in all dressed up, which is great. They needed people that says, I need to be out on the highways and the byways. I need to be in the community. I need to enter into people's lives, just like God came and entered into our lives. I need to be a person of purpose. I need to be a person that is going to reach out. I need to be a person that's going to reach up, reach in, but I'm going to be one that reaches out. Amen? We talk about revival. I need to just throw this in. I am convinced about revival. I've studied revival in college. I've tried to be a student of revivals around the world. The only revivals that last, like the great one in Argentina that's going on since 1982, still going on. Don't see it on the God channels. We don't see it in the papers because they're just getting on and reaching people. And I have an opinion about revival. And here it is for what it's worth. Do you want to hear it? If God's going to bring revival, I believe it has to bypass the church. I believe it's going to bypass the church. Because when the church gets it, they make a mess of it. When the church get it, we make it about us. We make it about bless me club. We make it about I want to hear from heaven. I want gold teeth. I want whatever. It becomes all about us. But if I believe, like in the Welsh revival, people going along on their bikes and the presence of God was coming on them and they got off their bikes and started worshipping God or repenting. Or people that were in the disco and the presence of God fell in the disco and they all ran to the church. Or the men in the Welsh revivals in the mines that they had to change all their donkeys because they became saved and got to know God and their donkeys didn't understand them anymore because they weren't cursing at them. True, documented. Like, Lord, that's what I want to see. I want to see someone walking up the North Avenue. Someone walking up Meat Street. And all of a sudden a revelation of who Jesus is. I want to see the woman on her own that has given up and all of a sudden, hey, I have a hope and a peace in my mind and my heart because God is real. And if it's to come to the church, maybe so. But everything that I've read, we've consistently made a mess of it. So I'm saying, Lord, bypasses. We're saved. We're in Christ. We have it all. We just don't experience it all. I won't experience it all because we don't want it or we're not activating it. But Lord, get beyond us and get to the mother. Get to the young person. Get to the young fella that's depressed. Don't mind us, Lord. We're going to heaven. Get to them, Lord. Amen. That we have to look out. Maybe this week, God will allow us to be part of someone's life. See, you know what? He came to be involved in our lives. Colossians says that he's above all these things for the church. So that he might reconcile all things to himself. Do you know it's God's heart to reconcile whatever has gone wrong in you to himself? It's his heart to come in and your body is out of sync or your mind is out of sync. Your heart is being broken. His heart is to reconcile that unto himself. He wants to enter into pain, discomfort, madness. He wants to enter into the hurt. He wants to enter into disappointment. He wants to enter into success and to be part of your life. He wants to enter into the celebrations that you have going on in your life. He wants to enter into your life. And if we have to live out, we have to go in and become part of somebody's story. You can be kind to someone this week and become part of their story. You can reach out to a neighbor this week and become part of their story. I remember a little lady was in Arnott's and she was getting her nails done. She must have been about 173. She could barely see over the counter. Me and Sharon was walking by and just in my heart, I want to be part of her story. I went over and we were sitting there. Sharon didn't know what I was doing. And I went, do you always get your nails done? She goes, every now and then, son. How much is it, miss? She says, €14. She says, can I pay for your nails to be done? She goes, what? I didn't give her a chance. She just gave the money and walked away. She said, I just want to be part of a story. I just want, she'd go home and go, you wouldn't believe what's happened in Dublin City Centre. Some fella came over and was chatting me up and asked me, where am I going tonight? You know, she's going to make a bigger story of it. In fact, she'd probably say, this young, handsome man. Yeah, oh yeah, boy. Just become part of someone's story. Do you know what I love? I was with someone this week and they came through brokenness of addiction. Do you know what they said to me? I just want to help someone else. What was they saying? I want to become part of someone else's story. I've experienced something great in my life and I want to just a little bit of going into someone else's life. Whether it's a bit of encouragement, whether it's a slap on the back, whether it's meeting the next young person and saying to them, you know, there's a future for you. Whether it's meeting somebody at the bus stop and going, how is it going? How is your nails? It's amazing what will happen if you have a heart that will not just live up, which is great, will not just live in, which is amazing, but that will live out. He says to me in America, Noel, you have story after story after story. Do you know why? I was bragging about you guys. I was bragging about Liberty being involved in someone else's life. And he said, how'd you get all the stories? You just keep on getting involved. I was telling him your stories and the stories that you've told me about other people's stories. And he said, you have one story after another. How come? Because we have a team of people that have vision to get involved in other people's lives.